Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to another Patreon episode here with Anabaptist Perspectives. Once again, I'm in the studio with Chester Weaver and Marlon Summers. Chester has been down here in Tennessee for a few days having meetings at our church, and we roped him in to come into the studio here and discuss a lecture you did a while ago, Chester, on the Mennonite Nazis. It's episode 98 up on our YouTube and podcast channels. And obviously, we got a lot of questions and people wanting to know more. So this is episode 3, I guess you could say, of a mini-series we've done on this topic. You might want to go check the other two episodes out that we've done on the Mennonite Nazis. All of those are here on Patreon. So this third one is, okay, so we have this lesson from history. How do we relate now to current evils based on what we've learned, what we've seen, what we've discussed over the last two episodes on this topic? And what kind of kicked this off is a comment from Tim, who says, this is what he says in his comment. I'm not sure how we should apply this to what is happening today. I wish he, referring to you, Chester, could have expanded more on application. What do we do about abortion, the advance of socialism / communism, the battle against morality, the culture war, etc.? How do we stand against evil in our times without compromise? Then he says, very interesting. I've read the story of the Anabaptists being forced from Germany, but had not read of those who stayed in Germany. I think he's saying those who stayed in Germany and sided with the Nazi regime. Where do we go? What is the application of what you shared in that lecture, Chester?
Well, the answer is not out there. We fight the cultural wars in a different way. We could try to jump on and fight abortion by preventing entrance to abortion clinics, or standing on the sidewalks and preventing or lecturing girls and all that kind of stuff. But the better answer is just simply taking children and adopting them, or being proactive about things rather than actual fighting those kinds of issues. Find redemptive ways to deal with the evils instead of fighting. The bare hard facts is, when you fight evil with counter evil, it doesn't work. The answer is not that approach. The answer is taking the way of Christ and living and showing people the better way. Love, forgiveness, Gelassenheit, quietness, and doing right, raising children with discipline, and staying out of prison because we're being productive. And all those are much better ways to fight than to just simply go out and face, we'll say, like abortion, in your face. It's the wrong way to go about it.
Yeah, agreed. There's ways of being a lot more positive. And I think of pregnancy crisis centers and so on, yes, that have attempted to do exactly what you said. I also think there's probably ways that people have been done sidewalk ministry around abortion clinics that have stayed clear of the violence and so on, although I'm not as familiar with those. The thing that was striking to me about this list is, okay, abortion, advance of socialism / communism, the battle against morality, culture war, etc. It's a list of things that we're scared of coming from the left. And it's a list that has really animated a lot of Anabaptists saying, okay, we're going to jump on the right-wing side of the political spectrum, which is an unhealthy response. And actually gets us back to some of those parallels. For example, the advance of socialism and communism. And maybe first, even before I go any further there, we should not be putting a slash there, in my opinion. It's, socialism is an economic, a macroeconomic way of organizing a country that comes in a lot of flavors and a lot of varieties. And I do think we should be careful to not just lump socialism and communism, Stalinism, together as one thing. It's a matter of being careful. But the other thing that jumps out at me there is, earlier in this little mini-series, Reagan read a few quotes, and that was one of the major motivators for Mennonites to pile on behind Hitler was, well, at least he's anti-communist. So let's not respond that way to worries about communism or these other evils.
So the proactive way is that we are pure people. We don't handle pornography. We teach our children and help our children stay away from pornography. We insist on permanence of marriage, and we have pure courtships, and we find ways to help the sick, the old, and we support all the weak. We just do something good. That's the best way. Jesus says you overcome evil with good, not fighting it. And so it's like we got to fight evil in our own hearts. That's where we need to be the hardest about evil. But if I see evil in you, Marlon, I don't fix your evil by attacking you. I fix your evil by showing you a better way. And I think that's our job in society, as salt and light, to show people a better way. We help people come to Christ and renounce their own personal evil. And we show people in a community who are willing to listen and watch, such as Cam. We help you when you have disasters. We don't just pray for you. We go and do something for you. That's the way we overcome. That's the way we show good and plant good in the world.
Kind of like Dean Taylor has said numerous times, where I think he might be quoting someone when he says this, but we are to be what is to become. We're showing people this is what the whole world would look like if we follow Jesus.
That's called being the colonies of heaven.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that has bothered me a little bit in our people is we do tend to be quick to say what we're against, instead of saying here's proactively what we're for and what we're going to stand up for, and say, you know, instead of saying we are against abortion, okay, absolutely, but like you were saying, all right, but how are we going to walk that out and say here are the things we are for, you know, good families, helping those who are in a bad situation and helping them walk through that situation, instead of just saying, oh, we're against abortion and that's that. What's some proactive things we can do to actually live it out? Anybody can sit on the sidelines and point out the things they disagree with. And I think I sense a little bit of that in this comment. This person's saying, you know, what do we actually do with these things that we believe?
It's a good question. But I think that whenever we have to fight evil with evil, it's like we understand that human nature is basically good. And the New Testament does not teach that. New Testament teaches that human nature is basically evil, and it has to be converted. It has to be the mind has to be transformed. We think in new ways, and that's how we just simply take the new ways of thinking and find creative expressions of this new way of thinking to address evil wherever we find it. And it's limitless in what we can do. And so I this thing about socialism or leftism, it's about creating a society with evil people, and it never works. The Soviet experiment was an experiment that lasted 70 years and cost how many lives, but it didn't work. Well, of course it didn't work, because people are basically evil. There's not enough good in the world. People tend to be negative. That's our basic nature, to be negative. And so we need to show people the better way, thinking the Jesus way. And he was all about redemption. Well, we need to be all about redemption, first of all, in our own lives and our families' lives and our neighbors' lives. We ought to be the best neighbors around in our community. And just recently, I was down visiting this community down the road here from New Delano. They have a good reputation in the community. Those are good people over there. And that's a colony of heaven at work.
Finding creative ways to impact the people around you without, I guess I could say, avoiding some of what we've seen in the past, where we get in people's faces and say, you shouldn't do this, and this is bad, and this is whatever. No, walking the way of Jesus and showing people, hey, here's the way. You can join if you like. Here's what it looks like.
Being willing to get my hands dirty while I'm showing that way.
Yeah. Finding creative ways to serve. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, practically speaking, you know, for Tim, who asked this question, what should we tell him to do?
I'm sure that he has enough to do wherever he is, that if Jesus said one of the kingdom principles, we first deal with the mote that it's in, this, the beam it's in our own eyes. Get our own eyes, our own lives corrected so that we can get out and get engaged. And we don't have to look very far at all to find some kind of evil in our environment that we can redeem. Doesn't take much at all.
Really, it just sounds like going back to love your neighbor, really.
Exactly right. That's all it is.
That's great. Well, so let's loop this back around, because this came out of the whole conversation with the Mennonite Nazis. So are we saying when the next challenge comes that may look as dramatic or as stark as what the Mennonites in Germany faced in that time, what should we do? And how can we take the lessons of that and make sure it doesn't happen again?
Okay, that's a very good question to ask. Historically, our people have watched this whole thing happen, all this drama happen, and eventually they migrated. Okay, but I'm not sure where we're going to migrate to anymore in the world. Mm-hmm. Our options are running out. America was a huge place, a huge opportunity to relieve the evil. Jesus does say, whenever they persecute you in this city, go to the next city. He says, you're not going to run out of cities until Christ returns. So we don't know when that is. But I don't think that we have the word yet that it's time to migrate. But if we do, then history shows that the first people who go have to do the hard work of pioneering. The next people who go are the smart people. And the people who are too tied to their businesses and don't go are the ones who end up suffering the most.
I mean, I just can't help but be struck here by by the parallels between Mennonites piling on behind Hitler because, oh, he's anti-communist, he's going to restore our economy, and all of those things, and the kind of Anabaptist support that we saw for the last president and making this into such a prime cause. Now, I'm not at all suggesting that our last president was going to do anything, you know, on the genocidal scale of Adolf Hitler. That's not my point. But you can't help being struck by the parallels for the reasons why people supported him versus the reasons why people supported Hitler.
They're shockingly similar. Like, even the lingo and the speeches that Hitler gave tapped into a very, very similar train of thought. So maybe the Mennonites, you know, this was a warning. This last election, the last, you know, number of years of change we've seen in this country, is that possibly a warning for us to, hey, open up your eyes. You can see how quickly you can get wrapped into something that is not very godly, you know.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I've wondered that, because it's like, well, here was a prime opportunity for us to heed that warning and see, oh, you know, we started getting wrapped up in the wrong things and getting our focus on earthly powers being our salvation instead of focusing back on what really matters.
Yeah, for me, it was a rude awakening. We had not done our homework. The fact that so many people were rallying behind Trump politically of our people indicates that we're losing the two kingdom concept, at least to a degree, somewhere. And that, to me, as an educator, is where my job lies. Well, we've got to help our people think the way Christ thinks.
Which is one of the big reasons that Anabaptist Perspectives even exists, was seeing we have so much to learn, and that material is not very easy to find. At least it was at that point for the Anabaptists, the Mennonites, people interested in this kind of thing. So we thought, well, what if we put these teachings out there freely on the internet for anybody to access at any time, anywhere in the world, and let's see what happens. And we're like, oh, let's try it. You know, wasn't really sure what to expect. And we realized very quickly there's a lot of people out there that are just confused and they need someone to help them process through. How do I actually think about the American political system? How do I feel about how I relate to people in my family who believe differently than me? How does the two kingdom concept work in my day-to-day life? How do I practice radical love towards my enemies? And that's kind of what we're about here, you know, and we definitely don't have it all figured out, but maybe we can help spark the conversation that gets people thinking and helps them make better choices in life. So anyway, as to end with that and segue on to, you know, this is all possible because of people like you, the listener, who support us through things like Patreon. We truly couldn't do this without you. Every week we hear from people all over the world that have listened to our material and it's given them something to think about. And it's definitely causing people to reconsider their beliefs and think more deeply about following Jesus in their everyday lives. So thank you for your support. And if you ever have feedback or comments or questions or maybe a topic you would like us to cover in a future episode, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And as always, you can find all of our material over on our website at anabaptistperspectives.org. And we'll also be releasing more material here on this Patreon page as well. So thanks for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode.